Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get, to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a Jay versus Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and, of course, a live performance of Through the Gryffindor. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I meant to go a little bit harder than that.
Exit light!
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You get it.
Night! Yeah, so we saw Metallica last week.
We saw Metallica last week in concert.
In concierto.
At Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, where the Virginia Tech Hokies play.
Dude, talk about an experience.
Okay. It was.
So, in case you guys don't know, we talk a lot about the Virginia Tech Hokies here, because it's Jay's alma mater.
Yeah.
Of course, we've been lifelong fans.
You know, we grew up
watching the team through all the dire disappointment.
So close, so often.
Yeah.
But never quite there, you know? The number of times they were ranked like number two in the country, and you'd be like, oh my gosh. And
this is our year.
And then, you know, something would happen.
Syracuse, Rutgers, I don't know.
Yeah, right. You're like, wait, what? No. What? We were going to shut out Boston College, the number two team in the country, and then they won somehow in the last 2 minutes?
That happened on my 18th birthday.
That happened on your 18th birthday in the rain on Thursday night in Lane Stadium.
Oh,
it was raining so hard. Class on Friday. I mean, it was the most like Dementors had existed ever. The entire student body, the entire campus was just like,
What's even the point?
What's even the point?
Like we almost saw a mirror.
Not even one single one of us wants to be at this class right now at 9 a.m. on Friday morning, the day after. Okay, can we just like start the weekend now, please?
Yeah, that was exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't technically on campus at that point in time, but I did stay the night with you that night because we got lost on our way back to the car / to your apartment.
Oh, yeah.
By the time we finally got there, it was so late that I was going to have to be driving after curfew. So it was like, well, actually, technically not after curfew because I would have just turned 18.
Oh.
So I would have been okay. I don't know. One way or another, it was the only night that I ever just like did a decision like that and was like, it was like, I'm 18. I'm making a decision. I'm not going to be at school on time tomorrow morning. And it was the only time I ever did that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
and
for you.
Yeah. Like in the,
nice.
You know. But anyway, so the big thing is, you guys obviously know that we're big fans of the team and everything, and a huge part of that has to do with the fact that we don't really have anything where we live that brings people together in this like sports arena-y kind of capacity. And so it's like everyone where we live, like lives, eats and breathes, you know, like Virginia Tech football. It's like, you know, it's such a prominent part of living where we live. Mm-hmm. And like one of the really big claims to fame as a result, I think, kind of that phenomenon, or maybe the phenomenon causes this result, I don't really know, is that Virginia Tech is known for being one of the absolutely loudest stadiums for any away team to come into and play.
Hostile environment.
It's a hostile environment. It is like when it gets roaring, it's loud.
It is loud. And the big thing, the number one thing, like if you're going to a game, like, win or lose, you need to be there before the game starts because of the entrance.
Yes.
Like, that is worth the price of admission. And what's going to happen is that the, you know, the cheerleaders are going to come out. They have these giant signs. And one half of the stadium is going to start chanting, "Let's go!" And then the other half is going to go, "Hokies!" And they'll do the, like, five times. And all of a sudden, they'll start playing Enter Sandman. And the entire stadium will start jumping. And it is, like, crazy. And it's just, like, it's, like, a long time before they get to, like, the lyrics of the song. And that entire, like, build-up, that crescendo, it is just, like, closer and closer. And there's, like, bah! And they come charging into the stadium. And it's super fun. And, like, it is the best entrance in college football.
It is. It is. It's just so, like, there's never a time that I see it and I don't think that it's like the most amazing thing ever.
I know.
Like it's that good every single time. So this was kind of like the really big deal is that Metallica is currently on a world tour where they're playing like more like well-known massive venues, you know, like major cities and stuff like that. And then also on their list was Blacksburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of hilarious. And like, we don't have like, you know, like the stadium that they play football in is huge and it can house like 60. I never know the exact number. I always say like somewhere between 65 and 70,000.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah. It seems like it changes based on like, you know, like week in, week out and stuff. But, you know, it's like they don't do concerts up there. They did one back in 2016. Was it 2016?
Yeah. Right? No.
2006.
No. Sorry. Yes. You're right.
For the Virginia Tech shooting.
For the Virginia Tech shooting. Yes. April 16th.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes. Not 2006 either.
No. 2000.
No, because that would have been the same year I graduated high school.
This is a good point.
Right.
We're failing at this epically.
I think, no, it must have happened. The shooting was in 2006. 07? 07?
It was 07.
Yeah. Okay. But the concert wasn't until the following semester.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. So there have been two. That one, which was obviously like a very big deal for a very different reason. And then this one, which was a very big deal because it's Metallica playing Enter Sandman in Blacksburg, Virginia, and it was completely sold out. I mean, like, people in seats all the way from the front rows, all the way to the back rows, all the corners were filled in. The field has, like, a giant ring stage in the middle of it. Inside of the ring is, like, the snake pit.
The snake pit.
That you could spend, like, you know, $2,500 to go be a part of, which I think was also kind of, like, a hilarious thing because you had, like Virginia Tech alumni mixed in with, like, metalheads.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, there's two very different, like, personas that were occupying the, like, inner ring space because it was simultaneously, like, the most premium, most expensive ticket that, like, lots of people wanted, like, you know, front row access.
Absolutely,
to.
Yeah. They wanted to be right down on the field.
Right. And then you have diehard Metallica fans who are right. Like, I'm going to be as close as humanly possible to the stage. So,
yeah, it was an interesting mix of people who were coming to it because, like, for sure, like, if you were a Hokie fan, you heard Metallica was playing Lane Stadium, it was like, no way. Because people have wanted this forever.
Yes.
Forever. Wouldn't it be the coolest thing if Metallica played here just because of the entrance to the football game? And finally, it was happening. It was happening, and it was like, we got to go because this is very unlikely to happen again.
Yeah.
And we got to be there for it. So, yeah. And so it attracted huge alumni crowd. coming in just because like you want to like be there for this like iconic like concert at Virginia Tech. And then obviously the students who are presently there just, you know, want to come. But then on top of that, whether you care about football at all, you might just be a huge, you know, Metallica fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't care about any of that. You just want to be there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. But I mean, it was such a big deal that I couldn't even believe the number of people who have messaged me since like seeing maybe you put up a post that said that
I did.
There.
Yeah.
I've had so many people message me and be like, how was it? It's like everyone knew I was there, and I don't even have a place to post it.
Yeah,
you know, so like I thought even like that was interesting. But yeah, so very, very cool event to get to go up and be a part of. And before we even got to that, we were there with our childhood across the street neighbor Steven, who listens to Pop. Shout out
he
to
does
Steven.
What's up, Steven? Actually, it was through him that we even had tickets.
That's exactly right. Yes, yeah. Yes. Because his younger sister was unable to go, and then he offered them to us, and we were like, yes, we are in.
Yeah, we will be there.
Because we missed the initial offering and did not have the opportunity. I think we were on tour.
We were on tour, yeah. Because I think Ethan was like up early in the morning because we were like on West Coast time. Yeah, we were in Seattle and he got up like extra early to like try and like get in line and buy tickets online, which he succeeded at.
He did. Yeah. So yeah. He had much better tickets.
Much better tickets than us. But nonetheless, we made it.
Yeah. And also there's no bad seat in the place.
That's true.
Like, it looked awesome. Yeah. So no big deal. But yeah, so they were with, childhood neighbor Steven and his wife, which was really fun. And like what was kind of hilarious is that like, I feel like we were all kind of having this like unusual, like one foot then the other discussion about like, do we like tailgate, what is going to be like the like what do we do when we get there, because like we know there's going to be a ton of traffic. You kind of want to get up there early enough to like make sure you can like get to the parking spot, which was its own major mystery because they weren't selling like assigned spots. You were just buying like
general admission parking.
So it was like I have a QR code that says I can park. Is that right here? And they're like, it is.
It
and
we're is. Like,
deal.
Cool.
I got past the security guard. We're in. But then we weren't sure like whether or not to like proper tailgates. We had like a cooler full of drinks and everything. We had some like food, some sandwiches and stuff like that to munch on. We brought the cornhole boards, the Virginia Tech cornhole boards. And so we're just like, you know, playing, you know, a nice jovial game. It was the most unusual thing ever, but I like maybe this was a lot by Metallica tailgating standards, because we had ESPN come over to us and they're like, hey, can we get some footage? Like, you know, we want this for like potential game day stuff, you know? And we're like, us? Are you sure? Like,
let's go.
All right.
I know. Well, I think because the parking lot we got into was what is known as lot one, predictably is the best lot.
Yeah.
Like if you're there for a football game, it is the closest one to the stadium other than lot two, which is just, you know, on the other side of the stadium.
Right.
But lot one, that's the one. It's right next to Castle Coliseum, which is where they play the basketball. It is right next to the stadium. It is right next to campus. It is very central. It is like, it costs so much money to park in there if you're just like going to a game.
If you're going to a game, I don't even think it would be a stretch to say it might cost like $500 to $600 for one of those parking spots.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's crazy.
Right. So we're like in the premier parking lot somehow, even though we had general admission parking, I guess that, and we were just there early enough.
Yeah. I think we got lucky. Yeah. We did not pay that much for those parking tickets.
Yeah. But like, I think we were able to get in there because we left early enough to like get there because we got there so early.
Okay.
But then, like, we, you know, we're like, well, I guess we have some time to kill. Because there was two opening bands, neither of which I had, like, even ever heard of.
Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't go in and see them.
No, yeah, we could hear the noise,
though. We could hear it. But so, as a result, we're out there, like, in the main parking lot. Like, if you're the camera guys, it's like, this is where you're going to go first anyway.
Yep.
And, you know, we've got like our cooler beer and we're like tailgating like it's a football game, but it's, you know, we've got our cornhole boards out and they're like hokey cornhole boards
that we built.
Yeah. Back in the house where we started Super Carlin Brothers.
Yeah. I think we made them in like 2012, 2013.
Oh my gosh. So
those things have been with us for a minute now.
They have stood the test of time and we're out there playing and all of a sudden ESPN comes up. So like, we're like, what is going on? Do we have the best tailgate here? Cause it's not that much.
No.
But it's certainly like if you're shooting the package, it looks like exactly what you want it to look like.
It does. does. Yeah. It does. Yes, yes. Like the very small glimpse can sort of make it appear as though this is like a much more like Festivus occasion, which yeah. I mean, which it was anyway, but you know, we felt kind of low key, all things considered. So
we were also all dressed very much the part.
We were.
You know, like we were all wearing Hokey themed Metallica shirts, and then Steven's wife, Rachel, was really dressing the part.
Yes.
She dressed like she was going to a heavy metal concert, but it's still all set. It was still all Hokey and Metallica.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So it definitely, yeah, it looked cool. But so then it was kind of hilarious because, like, inside of the same game of cornhole, then the local newspaper, which is called the Roanoke Times, walks up to us and is like, "Hey, can I get an interview?" And we're like, "You sure can."
Yeah.
You know, and so we're like, okay, let's do that. So then I ended up getting featured on like the Roanoke Times website.
Yeah.
So you can like see my interview, which I would regret to say. I was like, I may have had a few libations, and I was like, I feel like you can sort of tell.
Oh, man, I know. I'm like, I do not know when and where that little promo for ESPN is gonna pop up, but I feel certain it's gonna.
I think it will.
You know, I feel certain it's gonna. So if you see me on there, let me know. But yeah, we might have had a few libations at that point. And you know, they're asking us, you know, like very like straightforward questions, just like, what is the, you know, what does it mean to be here for Enter Sandman? We're like, it's the best college entrance in the world. You know, you got to be here. If I'm coming to the game, I'm going to be there. And they're like, they mentioned some other place that had another like famous entrance location.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, they're like, oh, this school, some people say this school and this song is the best. And me and Rachel are over there like, nah, that place is terrible. This is the only place to be there.
I mean, you got to bleed your colors. Right?
I mean, that was exactly. I didn't know it was ESPN because they talked to you. They talked to you and Steven, and they were like, "Did you guys go to Tech?" And you guys were like, "They did."
Yeah.
And so then they walked over to us and asked us their questions. Then they left, and we were like, "Who was that?" And you guys were like, "That was ESPN." And we were like, "What?" Well, I was honest.
So yeah, maybe this is going to be like it reminds me of the movie Fever Pitch, which is such a hilarious like little aside, but it's a rom-com about the Boston Red Sox, which
yeah.
I actually love the movie. It's got Jimmy Kimmel,
Jimmy Fallon, and Drew Barrymore.
Jimmy Fallon. I always get the Jimmys confused. Yeah. Anyway, but it's very adorable because he's like a diehard Red Sox fan, and they just met, and like, you know, he's like, "Yeah, I'm going down to Florida, like, you know, to tune in for like spring training or whatever." And like then she's like watching on the news like the coverage, and she's like, "Yeah, like the guy I'm seeing is like kind of into the Red Sox," and like he's like
right now I live in Boston. It's like, yeah, of course he's a Red Sox fan, you know?
right, of course. And then but then you see him and they're like all hammered, and they're like, "I bleed the Red Sox colors."
Yeah.
And she's just like, "Oh gosh, what have I gotten myself into?"
She does not get it.
Yeah, but so that might be you. People might be like,
I know. I'm like, I'm afraid it's gonna be like at any time they go to a Tech game, they're gonna be like, "Enter Sandman." Is like, I feel like, is it gonna be like a clip that gets rerun a bunch?
I hope so. That's what we're going for.
That'd be, you know what? I'm okay with it.
It's gonna be great. Yeah.
I can't wait. You know what? If and when you see it, let me know. Send me the link.
Notorious popcorn culture co-host.
Yeah.
Highly featured in the ESPN hype reel for Virginia Tech football.
For Virginia Tech football. Yeah, that'd be tremendous.
That's what we're gonna see.
Yeah.
But so we go through the ESPN interview, then the Roanoke Times interview, and then like just a few minutes later, by just sheer happenstance, still inside of the same game of cornhole, a couple people who like watch SCB came over and like said hello, and we took photos and stuff like that. And I think at this point, Steven and Rachel are just looking at us like, who are you people? And we're like, we don't understand most of this.
We don't know what's going on.
That last one was cool because they watch SCB, and that's fun.
Yeah.
The other two, we were just as shocked as you.
Yeah, just shocked as you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that got us into the stadium.
Well, we did some shopping, you know.
Well, I was gonna say that didn't get us into the stadium, guys. Let me backtrack completely. Oh, yeah. Then we walked over to a merch booth.
Yeah, we walked over to a merch booth, and it was like there was a really cool. I guess they have like specific artwork that is going to go with like each venue they're going to play at.
Definitely.
But yep. My goodness, was the tech one awesome, because it was just this like hokey bird that you could like a zipper on the front, and it, like, you know, you could see the skeleton underneath, and
yeah,
it was like very, very metal, you know.
It's very metal, but also still very hokey.
Yeah, very Virginia Tech. And I was like, yeah. Oh man, we got to get that one. So we watch over. But of course, everyone wanted that one. So I think by the time we got there, it was pretty sold out.
I'm definitely going to try to track that one down.
Yeah.
On the old like Poshmark or something, eBay.
Yeah. But then, so they just had like regular Metallica merch, you know.
Yeah,
But we're kind of staring out of, and like most of it, you know, it's like, it's exactly what you expect out of like metal t-shirts. It's lots of like skulls and dripping metal and, you know, crazy looking monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but then they had, was it like acid wash or just denim vests?
Kind of like a gray colored denim vest.
Yeah.
Cut off sleeves.
Yeah. And then just like a, you know, giant Metallica insignia on the back. And I feel like we were in like just the right purchasing kind of headspace, you know. Steven's like, Carlin, if you get one, I'll get one. I was like, we're getting them. Let's do it.
I got a photo of you guys over there buying them, and it was just adorable.
Yeah.
It was literally like watching, like, you know, like the two guys I remember like kicking a soccer ball with in the cul-de-sac, you know, when we were like, you know, 11 and 14.
Yeah.
But now it's like we're grown up and we can go do stupid things. And it's like, we're still the same people.
We're still doing it. Yeah. So that means Steven are walking around in our matching denim vests.
Yes. Dude, you look really good in it.
Oh, like, thank you. Thank you.
It was like, honestly, like, you put it on, and I feel like with like a black, you wore it for an SCB video last week.
I did.
You're wearing like a black shirt underneath, and I think you had your black frames on that
day. I did. Yeah. I woke up the next day and I was like, I'm not going to have many opportunities to wear this vest like for on normal occasions.
Right.
Because it's pretty loud as vests go.
As vests go.
But you know what? I went to the concert last night and it was epic. And if not now, when? Like, the day after you go to a concert is the best day to wear the merch you got from the concert.
Completely guilt-free. Because anybody could be like, what you wearing? It's like, I went to the concert last night.
Went to the concert last night. Exactly.
Naturally.
So I had my Death Grip t-shirt on.
For your mustache
wax. Which is my mustache wax. And they've got like a kind of like a heavy metal aesthetic to themselves. As well, so that felt like it went really well, and it's black, so it had like the skull on it and stuff, and the crazy mustache, and then I had my Metallica vest, and then I was like, I may as well wear my black frames and just do it right, you know, go full black hair, have my black jeans and all that.
Dude,
so
to me though, it felt exactly like doing like the mustache and May thing, where it's sort of like, yeah, I'm gonna do it for charity, like it's a cool thing, and that's sort of like, it turns out I kind of like my mustache, I'm keeping it on my face,
right? This is like my new aesthetic.
Yeah. I mean, like, you came in and I was like, Jay, you look cool, man. Like, I was like, I feel like this could like just change, I mean, not change like your entire like wardrobe or the way that you dress, which I would say that your current outfit is like the antithesis,
the
of,
absolute opposite. Yeah, where I've got like my beach shirt on and my short bird dog khaki shorts and these pineapple shoes I found under my bed yesterday that I forgot I owned. And I was like, I'm basically wearing an outfit today so that I could wear these exact shoes.
Nice.
Because, we can talk about that later. But I found these shoes under my bed yesterday. And I was like, what are these? And I was like, oh, Tyler gave me these for Christmas. I forgot about these. And they like fall. I have like a little rack underneath my bed that like holds all the extra shoes I have.
Yeah.
And these have like fallen off the back of it. So anytime I pulled it out, they just haven't been there. And this is like, you know, I maybe have worn them like 10 times ever. So they're still very clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they look great.
Yeah. They're very, maybe it wasn't Tyler. Maybe it was Daniel.
I think it was Daniel.
Daniel. Sorry,
Tyler. I was literally just thinking that. I was like, I'll wait and ask him after.
Yeah. But yes. Yeah. Daniel, my brother-in-law.
Yeah. There you
yes,
go. There you go.
Gave me these. Yes. So boom. Wearing them now.
Boom.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I couldn't be dressed a little more opposite than I was on Friday.
Right.
Or Thursday coming into the office.
But you looked way sharp. So I have a feeling, you know, be on the lookout. And I mean, especially like, you know, if you're coming to see us on, you know, through the Griffin Tour Midwest, you know, like I'm kind of like, I feel like we should make like 10 denim jackets that we just like bring with us. And it's sort of like, these are going to be comically expensive because I'm sure they cost a lot to make. And it's not going to, it's more for like those people who are just sort of like, yeah, I want that. There's 10 of them. I want one.
Well, because we have a running gag on Through the Gryffindor where there's like a there's a scene in Harry Potter where Hagrid is sitting, and I think he's like crying basically like into his arms, like he's sitting at his table or something.
I think it says wearing only his shirt sleeves.
Yeah, wearing only his shirt sleeves.
I think that's the phrasing. Because he is crying into it, but I think it's like he's crying into his shirt sleeves. If he was just crying into his shirt sleeves, it wouldn't be hard to imagine
right. What
that is. But it's like, I feel like it's suggesting it's only his shirt sleeves,
right.
Which I'm pretty sure is just like maybe a British word for like an undershirt. But our interpretation for humor effect was that he was only wearing sleeves. So you have like a torso exposed Hagrid,
right.
If you can imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
So then obviously if we made the, like, we could make the vest as if this is what Hagrid, where he got the sleeves from.
Yeah.
This is the rest of it.
He's still wearing the sleeves.
He's wearing the sleeves, but you can have the vest.
You can have the vest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hagrid's shirt sleeves, cut off, shirt.
Yeah. Denim jacket.
Denim jacket. Yeah. Exactly.
There you go. It will make sense to the people there, I promise.
Like the tens of people who are interested in such a commodity. Anyway, but so you have it. I'm excited for you. I feel like, you know, you definitely need to have a night on tour where you rock the denim vest.
I will do it.
A
I will
denim
bring
vest.
It. Yeah. No, yeah. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay, good.
I'll bring it.
Good.
It'll
good,
be
good.
Great.
I love this.
Yeah. Be good.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Uncommon Goods. Oh, the holidays. Back in our younger years, Ben, our dear friends, and myself had quite a tradition when it came to how we shared the festive spirit. Okay, so Uncommon Gift Wrapping was the name of the game. Wrap the gifts in the most difficult way you can think of. So there were things like burying each other's gifts underground, inside of massive rubber band balls. We used spray foam, duct tape, shrink wrap. I sunk one of my friend's gifts in a pond once, and he had to go get it in the snow. Ben, I'm not kidding, used a lionfish one time to guard the gift. But these days, I like to think we've matured, and now the name of the game is Uncommon Goods. And Uncommon Goods has a brilliant selection of some of the most unexpected, unique, and impressive gifts you can track down this holiday season. Like, personally, I've used them just for myself, not even for a gift, but I'm the proud owner of a popcorn bowl, which has this cool kernel sifter at the bottom, so you don't have any more, like, tooth-breaking handfuls of popcorn, because you guys know how much I love popcorn. But then, there's all sorts of stuff. There's, like, NFL Game Day bingo cards, there's, like, murder mystery jigsaw puzzles. Guys, listen, I'm not kidding. They have a cast iron potato baker for the Gryffindor in your life. Like, how cool is that? Like, honestly, maybe I've inspired you here, and if you're going to, you know, go and set your loved one's gifts in concrete, and I recommend that you do, you should at least find them something special to, you know, uncrack at the middle of that big old block. Look, an Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, like from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers to sports fans to foodies, mixologists, gardeners. You're going to find all sorts of crazy, unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/pop pop. That is uncommongoods.com/pop pop for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 1-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. So then the concert itself.
Then we got to the concert.
Yes. Yeah. So we were getting up, you know, we got up to our seats and
Wait. Oh, wait. I got to talk about something highly important to the evening. Okay. So we had eaten our subs like hours earlier.
Yeah.
We get in. We're going to go and grab a drink before we get to our seats.
Yeah.
I also purchase one hot dog.
One singular.
Yeah. It's like one of those hot dogs that comes off like the roller balls.
Of course.
But, you know, they've already got them like preloaded and like wrapped in like aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like a standard size hot dog and a pretty standard bun.
Mm-hmm.
I had no ketchup, no condiments whatsoever.
Yeah.
I got up to my seat. I unfolded that bad boy. I ate that hot dog and it was so good.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I've been thinking about it since last week.
Have you really?
I have. I was like, why was that hot dog so good?
Man.
Anyway, so that was that was my little aside there, but
whew,
man, I could go for a plain hot dog.
Go for a plain hot dog. I tell you what, at that same exact concession stand, I just got a soft pretzel and it was way better than any other concession stand soft pretzel I'd ever gotten.
See, maybe something was right about
something
this.
Something was right over there at the in the south end zone.
Hey, you know what else we could do on tour? Is what? we could go to the nearest 7-Eleven, buy them out of all of their hot dogs, individually wrap them in aluminum foil, get up on stage and just huck them.
And just huck them. Where were we where they had that? At the Seattle football game where they had like the brat blaster or something?
Yes. Like a bratwurst cannon.
A brat cannon. They're just shooting them into the crowd. We were nowhere near close enough to catch such a thing. But
I desperately wanted one.
Dude, me too.
It would have been so good.
It would have been so good. Oh, this is what I was thinking about was hot dogs. Is when we left the stadium, there was a bunch of people just like grilling hot dogs, like street meat on the on the way back to the car. And like I was sorely tempted to get one.
Sorely tempted.
They smelled so good.
They did. They did. I mean, they had like, you know, like all sorts of like sliced peppers and stuff.
Yeah.
They're like grilling on like a shopping cart maybe, but like, you know, it looked amazing.
It did.
Actually, you know what else reminds me of? Speaking of hot dogs, I said we could go to 7-Eleven. Alternate plan. Okay, so I've been watching the Outdoor Boys YouTube channel.
I've heard you talk about it.
I brought it up a whole bunch of times. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, guys. I'm just a big fanboy. But one of the things that he does is like at one point in time, this is just like a fun hack that I think is just like him flexing. But he was like, we're gonna be hungry in like 30 minutes. We got a little bit of a drive, so he takes the hot dogs out, wraps them in aluminum foil as you do, and then tucks them in on his engine block in his car, and then drives down the road and literally cooks his hot dogs via the heat of the engine. So, new plan alert, instead of going to 7-Eleven, as we're rolling into town, not to worry, we'll pull over on the side of the road, we'll throw our hot dogs right there on the grill, aka engine of our tour van, Harrison.
This can't go wrong.
No, it can't go wrong at all. I mean, what is non-sanitary about this entire plan in any way, shape, or form?
I mean, as long as you wrap the tinfoil tight enough, I guess nothing, but...
It's just basic heat, right?
Heat is heat. So then you can't change bath.
You can't. Yeah. So then we get there and you can have an authentic tour van roasted hot dog. These are not real, by the way, but I'm dreaming.
You're dreaming.
Okay. Maybe I'll just do it for me.
And then if I
look a little bit like green.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about serving them to the people.
To the people.
I thought you meant just like for us.
No.
Every time we get out, be like, go ahead and throw some more hot dogs into the engine, man.
Yeah. Concessions.
Go ahead. That way, if anyone gets hungry, we can pull over, pull them out. Boom. We got a hot cooked meal ready to go. Yep.
I love this plan.
Just nothing like riding in a car full of people who just ate a bunch of hot dogs. You know what I mean? Woo!
So yeah, we always name our tour van Harrison.
Yeah.
That's the other thing too, because it's a Ford, so it's like Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
So anyway, we've had three Harrisons so far.
Yes.
We've already booked Harrison number four.
Harrison the fourth.
Or as I like to call him, Harrison Four.
Harrison Fourth. Yeah.
Anyway, so now we've made it to our seats.
Now
we're
going
to go to the concert. Ben has eaten his hot dog and is extremely happy.
There we go. So we get to our seats and, you know, there's a little bit of time before the band comes on. And everyone's kind of wondering, like, how are we going to do it? Are they going to, like, come out? Are they going to, like, open with Enter Sandman? Is that going to be the big finisher? Like, is there, you know, what's going to happen here?
Right.
Is there going to be, you know, what are we doing? But so they did not open with it, but what they did do was they played Enter Sandman on the speakers.
Yeah.
for like as if the like the football team was coming in, and like they did it for Metallica's entrance onto the stage,
right?
Which was still pretty freaking awesome.
It was very cool. It's a good way to get the people going.
It absolutely is. Like, go like look up Virginia Tech versus Miami. These people are losing their minds. Go to YouTube and look up that video, and you can watch just one of the greatest nights in Virginia Tech football history.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, the title says it all, but that, I mean, Tech's playing Miami, and like, it is a close game, and they are trying to rile the crowd up, and they're already pretty riled up, or they start playing Enter Sandman at, like, you know, with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I mean, if you thought it couldn't get louder, you were wrong. And like, they're so loud that people in the commentating booth, like, are unable to, like, get, like, their voice through the microphones.
Dude, it's such an amazing game too, because it, I mean, on some level it was like, was that cheating? Because like, you literally just came in and like, like hosed excitement over the entire crowd, and it worked.
Yeah. They sure did.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, yes.
So you can go check it out.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
So they come out, and then the thing is like, as excited as everyone is about hearing Enter Sandman in Lynn Stadium by Metallica, is that, I don't know about you, but I know maybe like three other Metallica songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I going into it, I was like, I feel like I can name a few. Like, I know Master of Puppets. I know Enter Sandman. I know that other one.
Fuel.
Yeah. And it was sort of like, I can do this. Like, I know some Metallica. And chances are, like, I remember seeing like the All American Rejects at the When We Were Young Music Festival, and it was the same thing where it was like, I feel like I know a couple of songs, and they got up there and started playing. I was like, I know all of the songs. Like,
Turns out,
who knew?
Yeah, maybe it'll be like that. Maybe I just don't know how many songs I know are Metallica.
Exactly. And then as it turned out, it was kind of like I was sort of doing like the like, yeah, I'm in it. I'm head bobbing.
Well, I was afraid that like I didn't know what it was going to be like being in the stands, where if you were going to be like surrounded by people and everyone just sort of like knew everything, and you were like, oh man, I am like such an imposter. Or I wasn't sure like where Steven and Rachel stood on Metallica fandom or anything. Like, were they going to be like screaming the songs the whole night, and we were going to be there like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're glad you invited us.
Well, we are fun guests.
No. Turns out, I think pretty much we were far enough away that, like, you know, Steven and Rachel, I think, were about in the exact same spot we were fandom wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone around us was, you know, like everyone was kind of like, you know, bopping their heads and stuff like that, but
right.
No one was like screaming out all the lyrics for the whole night.
No, or anything like that. No.
Yeah.
But I mean, that being said, it was really wild to me, because when you start to think about all of like the arrangements that we made, whether it was just like, you know, like Steven and Rachel's being in line to buy the tickets over, you know, back in August, so that you could get these before they sold out. And then, you know, us buying, you know, their other two tickets from them, getting the parking, leaving work early, you know, driving up there, going through all the things, like, you know, being out incredibly late, all basically for us, at least, in the name of getting to watch like 7 minutes of one song being played
of glory
by like the authentic people themselves in this place that like we call home.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was like all of a sudden it started happening. And like, I mean, my eyes were like full of tears, you know, I mean, it was just like, I mean, I can't decide if I want to like just film it or like live in the moment and just like experience it and like let it like wash over me. But I mean, it was all worth it. Like, I mean, it, yeah. So like for a night that was 2 hours of music, about an hour and 24 minutes of which I didn't know.
Right.
You know, it was like you get to that last song, and it was just like, I mean, it was as amped as I feel like I've been in that stadium, like when Tech wins in miraculous fashion. You
right.
Know? I mean, it was just like, it was like, oh, this was so good. It was so incredible. And it, like, I mean, it just sounded right. You know, like sometimes you hear like a band live and it sounds different live.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, it sounded right. It sounded loud.
It was loud.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was tripping like seismographs. And,
oh, I know. It like, was like registered. I mean, the people, because the way that you do it is that you like, you like jump while the song is happening.
Yes.
You know, so you've got, you know, 70,000 people like crammed together in one area, all jumping at the same time. And like, this happened when in that game we talked about earlier, in the Miami game, with the people who are losing their minds and stuff, like it like registered on the Richter scale. People were like jumping and going so crazy. And so I think they knew to be looking tonight on this night. Like, okay, we're betting it's gonna happen tonight. And sure enough, like if you look at it, it registers, and they're like, it was, you know, not like massive, but it's like it was a small but very sustained earthquake, you know?
Yes, right? Yes. It's so cool. I mean, literally while I'm jumping, though, I'm like, the engineers who designed and built this stadium must be like, we didn't know. Like, it's like all of our like levels, all of our permissions, all of like every decision that we make in based on like the strength of the concrete and the amount of rebar that we use. It's like you wonder, like, are they taking into account what like 70,000 small jackhammers would do to it if they all happened at once?
Right. You know?
which is effectively what somebody jumping is doing.
Right. Well, I guess so. Everything's fine.
It held.
It was great. It was awesome.
I mean, did you have fun? I feel like I
had an absolute blast. Yes, it was super fun. You're right. It was the same thing. It was like it was all like it was very much like the entire night is building up to like the moment where they're gonna play this one song that everyone's there for. Like, you know, whether you know you're most people, like there's some people there who are just, you know, huge Metallica fans. I'm sure they were loving every second of every song and it was great. But like, Most people were there for that moment at the end of the day. And I mean, when it finally happened, it was just great. And it was like, and it's been not only that, but not only were you waiting for it all night, in some ways you've been waiting for it for like 25 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like ever since this tradition started, ever since it's like taken off and become like the entrance. And it was just like to be there with the band, especially who knows if they'll come back, but even if they do, to be there the first time it happened was awesome.
Yeah. It was incredible. So, but then the kind of weird thing that happened was that, like, if you can imagine most Virginia Tech football games, like you have a huge percentage of the audience that is students who are coming to the games because they are given tickets at like, you know, cheaper rates and stuff like that. And they're obviously tons of school pride because they're currently attending school. And this is a massive social engagement, entertainment type of situation.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what happens at Tech football games, especially if the game is like lopsided in one direction or the other, either Tech's winning by a lot or losing by a lot of people are filtering out as the game goes on.
Right.
Starting to like go to their respective parties, back to their dorm rooms, doing whatever college students go on to do at the end of the day. Same thing with, you know, like, you know, there's plenty of people who are like, okay, we came, we saw the game. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they're like well, you know what? Even if we don't see the end, we want to beat the traffic.
You want to beat the traffic. Yep, yeah, exactly. So got to be there for some of the festivities. This was so weird though, because Enter Sandman was the very last thing they were going to play. No one left.
No one.
At all. So this, like, you get to the end, and I mean, this is as full as I have ever been in the stadium at the end of a game before. And I mean, it's like we get out. I mean, you definitely feel like you're like being like forced through like a herd of cattle or something, you know, like,
right.
It's like this very, like, we're all kind of funneling through these openings and hoping we're going the right way. And, you know, at one point in time, we all went the wrong way, like towards buses, and it was like gated off. And like, you know, you had, I don't know, 10,000 people who all had to figure out to turn and go the other direction.
Right.
It's just a whole thing. We finally make it back to our cars. We literally, like, I turn the ignition on. We're all sitting in the car. And there's like a car in front of me, so I can't pull forward or backwards. And we sit there for one full hour before we can pull out of our parking spot.
It was, I mean, the traffic getting out was bad.
Was bad.
Very bad. And it's, you know, so it's, you're kind of staring at the clock and you're like, well, it's midnight and we're still in the parking spot.
Yes.
That's great because it's an hour drive home, and not even just an hour drive home because we got to drive Stephen and Rachel home, and they're like living a little bit past where we're going to go. Then we got to make it back to Roanoke, and you know, even then we got to drop me off in my car, and from there it's like 20 minutes, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we have, like, literally I opened up our office work chat, and I was sort of like, hey, we're gonna be late in the morning because we're gonna, like, you know, take things slow because we're still in our parking spot.
Yeah,
this is at like midnight. And the next morning, like, you know, chatting with Ethan, he got out way smoother. I guess his parking lot was more strategically positioned. He was like, you sent me that, I was in bed. Like, I had left the stadium, gone all the way home, like gotten into bed,
right,
and was like getting ready to fall asleep when you texted saying we haven't gotten out of our parking spot yet.
Yeah.
And it was like, Yikes.
Man. Oh, man. Yeah. I know. I feel like it's because, it doesn't even matter why, but yeah. That was, getting out was tricky, but it was still all worth it to have been there in the first place.
It was.
I mean, but like, yeah, then the next day we started like coming to work and have like a full day of work. But like the next night, I remember I was sitting on my couch and we've been watching through Survivor, this current season of it. It's kind of like in slow motion a little bit because we've been trying to like watch it with the kids, try and get them like into it. And so far they seem like they're really enjoying it. But we were watching an episode with them, and like at the point where I finally sat down on the couch, it was like my brain was like, okay, are you sitting down now? Time to sleep.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, Beth thankfully just took the boys up when the show was over and put them to bed, but she was like, yeah, I feel like I needed to let you sleep. They were like jumping on you and crawling on you and you weren't waking up, and I was like, oh, were they?
It's like,
I have no recollection.
I missed that entirely.
Yeah. I was that's what 3 hours of sleep will do to you when you're 37.
I mean, but that's the thing. So that's like the full picture though. Yeah. It's like, it's the leaving work early on one end. It's the, you know, it's the full like excitement of getting up there and like all the time and preparation it is to get there. It's the lack of sleep the night after, the disrupted work day the next day, the disrupted, you know, like the evening every, like all in the name of those 7 minutes.
Right.
And it was still worth it.
Still worth it.
Ugh.
So great.
Just amazing.
So great.
Anyway, we've done it. We got to see Metallica live in Lane Stadium.
Do you know, I discovered this is like one of those things that I've always been like a little unsure of, and I think I did it wrong while we were there.
What's
okay.
That?
So, like, when you're at a rock concert, or there, I think there's three different hand like signs you might make as a sort of like, like if that all would like pass as sort of like the same attitude, and yet they're four different situations.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So you might have pinky out, thumb out. Okay. Right?
Like hang ten.
Like
dude.
Hang ten, but still just sort of like, yeah, hang like, that's awesome or whatever. Right.
Right. Yep. Like
you might have pinky out, thumb out, and finger up.
Okay.
Right. Which I think means love.
I love you. Yeah.
I think so. I think this is like ASL for love, but like. And then you might have pinky out, index finger up, thumb down.
Okay.
And that's like throwing horns, I guess. And that's that. This one I will not forget anymore. This is rock and roll right here. This is what you do at the concert, right?
Okay.
This is what you do. I all night was just like, I don't think it matters. It's like this and this, basically the same thing. So I was doing this all night, but this is the wrong one. And then I was like, man, I feel so stupid. I'm such a poser.
Such a poser. I mean, but you're not a poser Virginia Tech football fan.
I'm not that. Yeah, just the poser, like, rock person.
But you know what? It's like, on some level, it's like, that might just be true, and also, that's okay.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. No, he's like, I think someone left like a comment on the Instagram post because I was doing like that. And I was like, ah, man, thank you for the gentle correction.
Yeah. It's like,
I got it now. Yeah, I got it.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would look at that person, you would do this.
Right. I'd be like, peace, dude. Peace, right. Peace, dude. I feel like all three of those, I feel like people use them all for the same general vibe.
I could totally see it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, like, I don't know that I don't gesture any of those.
Ever
any frequency at all.
Okay.
Like I would say I ironically do like the hang 10 thing like every once in a while, like, mm-hmm. you know, for funsies.
Right.
But otherwise I'm not regularly busting these out. So I mean I couldn't have told you.
Okay.
Like
all right.
What the right one was.
Well, that's good. All right, cool. I feel like I do the hang 10 one maybe the most.
That makes sense.
It feels like I do it. I'm trying to think when.
Look at the way you're dressed.
Yeah. Ooh, I know, right?
Hang 10, bro. Do you have your surfboard attached to the top of your PT Cruiser?
No, I don't. Oh. No, I don't. Cowabunga.
Cowabunga, dudes.
Cowabunga, all right. Dude.
Transition!
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay, so Jay, I have like a philosophicalism.
Oh, a philosophicalism.
I don't even know if it's that big of a philosophicalism.
But okay,
it has to do with a topic that apparently I have come back to on numerous occasions throughout the course of doing the pop.
Oh, is that right?
Because I was trying to find like whether or not like the last time I brought up this particular phrasing before, which is a game of dopamine. Keep it up.
Dopamine, keep it up.
So I think
I know you've talked about dopamine on the pop before. You had like the whole Dopamine Nation book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Look at you. You're listening.
I do. Yeah.
It means a lot to me. Yeah, it's a great book. But yeah, so the idea of Dopamine, Keep It Up is kind of interesting. And a lot of this actually has to do with having read Dopamine Nation, which is a book that basically just goes into the science of the way that dopamine works in sort of like today's society and social media and just like all the different areas that we can like source dopamine from. And how you can sort of become like, you know, addicted. I don't even know if is the correct like medical term, but you keep in pursuit of it. That's the feel good chemical of your brain.
Right.
You know,
okay.
It's like, aha, this is great. And so once upon a time, I read the book Dopamine Nation, I think back in 2022, when we just had Addy. I was going through 75 hard. And part of that was doing like a lot of like nonfiction
self-help reading
type reading. Yeah. And so it really, I mean, I would say it was a pretty impactful read on my part because I think I was able to apply it to like a bunch of different aspects of my life. So I was going back trying to figure out like when I had brought this up in the past and like the different ways in which I've talked about it throughout history. And like, I think that, I think what I realized was how often I was doing something specifically in the name of getting more dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a prime example of this would have just been opening my phone and scrolling any of the social media platforms and
right.
just seeing simply something interesting at all. And then I think the other examples I actually gave back when I originally talked about this was how like I used to have subscription services for just everything. Like,
yeah.
Whether it was like, you know, soap or air filters or, you know, like we've talked about like Bespoke Post last week on the pop, like just a whole bunch of subscription services that yielded mail on the reg. And on the one hand, it was sort of like, well, then you always have dog food, but then also like you get to come home a lot of times and there's like a box at the door.
What's in the box?
You know, and like getting a box in the mail, especially like when you're conditioned like as a kid for like when mail arrives for you as a child, it's almost always like a birthday or you
know, right,
like
yeah.
an occasion based gift from a family member or loved one or something who was sending you something. So it was almost always something exciting. And so I was like, man, I was like literally always trying to make sure I had like a steady flow of something arriving at the house to sort of like provide me with that particular experience.
Right.
And then what was the other example of it? Oh, is vacations. So like one of the big things that I'm like horrible about doing is I will want to like park all of my vacations, like to the point where I've always got the next one planned before the next one starts. Or sometimes I will literally like be at the beach being like, should we plan a trip? You know, it's like, we're on a trip.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it's like, I never wanted to like let it go. I never wanted it to like lie.
Right.
So that like, I didn't have something else to sort of like feed the drip on. So it's kind of interesting because, I think last week on the pop, I was talking a little bit about doing like modifications to my truck and how like I got these new headlights, which I did get installed, last week, I think after recording, and it gave me such that feel good sense. And like, there was this weird thing that happened with my truck. I think I've also talked about this in the pot before, but Alice got me a detail job once upon a time. I took the truck in and the people like destroyed the interior of it. Like any plastic part.
Yes, they did.
That could be like pried up. It was almost as if they wanted to like take everything apart so they could like run it through like a dishwasher or something. Like, so all of the little plastic clips to anything you could possibly think of inside of my truck have all been broken off. And so it's like I replaced my headlights last week, and then I had Steven and Rachel in the back of the car because we're going up to the concert, and they were sort of like, you don't have window switches back here. And I was like, I've got to fix that. So I was like, you know, while I'm on this like high from doing my headlights, I was like, you know, now maybe I'll go through and I'll get like all these other like doodads and parts, and like maybe I'll be like on like an upgrade streak for a little while.
Yeah.
But so this is like where the big question comes into play, because I feel like I have introspected so hard on where I source dopamine from, because I was like, oh, I gotta like cut these things off everywhere so I'm not like overly dependent or reliant on anything. You know, I got off social media, did all those types of things. And like almost to the point where I'm like, are you like actively not doing things that you will enjoy on purpose, strictly in the name of not providing yourself with dopamine?
Right, because like it's like certainly your body must produce dopamine for a functional purpose.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I mean that is certainly the case as well. And also it's like, you know, most passion is probably on some level fueled by dopamine. Like, you know, your particular interests in activities or hobbies or interests, you know,
yeah.
It's like that's where it comes from. You know, it's like you do a thing that makes you feel good, so you do it more, and then you learn more about it and build more skills and, you know, gain community and all of those types of things that usually come with interests.
Right.
You know, not that all those things are necessarily the goal. I just think that they're all typically like offshoots that end up resulting from such a thing.
Right.
You know? And so like it's kind of funny, cause I was thinking of like this example and even talking about the Metallica concert reminded me a little bit of it, because it was like, you put in so much effort. There was so much that like all rounded into this like very concentrated ingot of dopamine.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, to me, it was like, well, that was pretty worth it. Like, you know, that was pretty awesome. Just to get that like little piece.
Right.
And then I was almost thinking like, okay, imagine waiting in a line for like a roller coaster for like 2 hours or something to get up, and you're next in line and you're like, you know what? Don't get on the roller coaster, Ben. You're just doing that to give yourself dopamine. Like that's all you're doing right now. Like, you know exactly what's going on. It's like, no, be above that. And it's like, no, that's ridiculous. Get on the roller coaster.
Right. Yeah.
It's like I've like, part of me thinks I've like almost like overly introspected to the point where it's like, I know. It's like I found the source material as to why I do certain behaviors, and I'm like, well, I can't do that. I need to be better than like this primitive behavior. It feels
right,
like.
Right. It's like you're on a path towards like, what's the point of doing anything?
That's exactly
yeah.
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And right.
Like, but you can't live like that. Like,
right.
That's no way to live.
Right.
I don't want to survive.
Exactly. Yeah.
At that
point.
Live.
Yeah. Like, what are you even doing? What's the point then? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, that's that's like the toss up though, is that it's like when you find something new, it's like, are you just playing a game of like dopamine keep it up? Is it just sort of like how many times can I bounce the ball back up in the air doing this like one activity and still get it to like successfully like ignite?
There is, I swear, a phenomenon in like American culture where people are so like, for somehow it does not make sense to me, are resistant to a win-win situation.
Okay, so like you can't do something that is both productive and also makes you happy.
Right, exactly. Like there is like an absolute resistance to like I would, people so much would rather it be win, like I win, you lose, rather than we both win
together.
And yeah. It's like even if them winning makes you win more, it's like people, or it's like it feels like it must be wrong, or it's like too good to be true, or like that is like that mentality I feel like is just drilled into people. Like if it feels too good to be true, it is. Like there's a catch you're just not seeing, you know.
Right.
It feels like a trap when things are working out in both directions, and like you're like, nope, I better not do it that way. That's not how it's supposed to work. Or like, well, if I do that, then I won't have anything to complain about, you know, or something.
Sure. Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and it's like, I think this is a classic example. It's like you have found if like fixing up your truck is giving you dopamine, and like you're doing it and you're like, well, I really, you know what, I guess I'm fixing it up, but like am I doing it because it needs to be fixed? No, I'm doing it because it makes me happy. And you're like, it can be both. And it's like, two, worst case scenario, even if it's just to give you dopamine, your truck will still be fixed.
True.
Like there is a positive outcome no matter what.
This is a good point.
Unless you spend money on it and then do nothing, then otherwise it has been worth it.
Right.
You
right.
know, like you have netted positive happiness, and you have netted positive like car usage.
Functionality.
Functionality, right? Yeah, it's like, yeah. there is like no downside to it. And yet, because there's no downside, people are afraid of it. Because it's like, there is, like, they're afraid that they can't, if you can't spot the downside, it will be especially bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, I think that is so frequently the case, is that it's like, I think even the way that, like, anxiety works is it's like, you're constantly, like, feeling around looking for, like, all of the, like, potential sharp spots just in case. And so it's like, you're running your hands over everything all the time being like, it's in here somewhere. It's in here. Yeah. I can find it.
Exactly. It's like, I think there's a real resistance sometimes to believe that other people can be selfless. And it's like, if you're telling me this is good for me and that it's good for you, chances are it's way better for you. And you just want me to feel like it's good for me, even though I can't tell how it's bad. It's like, I feel like this anytime I'm buying a car.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you're talking to the guy and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we're helping you out here. This is going to be, and you're sort of just like, I'm believing you. I'm signing the papers. I believe you have my best interest at heart or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, at the end of the day, and then you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. This wasn't exactly, that worked out better for you than it did, you know, whatever. It doesn't always feel like it totally shook out the way you wanted it to.
Like what you're saying here is that, You think they've got your best interest, but then the reality is that they don't.
That they have their own interest at heart more than yours.
Right.
Right. Like, I feel like, you know, some, you'll go, like, there's always a part where you're buying the car. It's like, you have the salesperson you're dealing with, and they'll pass you over to the person who's going to call the bank and try and get you your rate.
Like your financing.
Financing and stuff like that. And it's like, I feel like it's always presented as if, like, all right, like, it would be a conflict of interest for me to do this part, so I'm going to pass you over to this guy, and they only care about getting you a good rate. And it's like, they work for the car company, you know? It's like, they want to make money.
Sure.
Right? It's like, is that all they care about? Do they care about getting you a good rate, or do they care about making the car company more money, or the bank more money, or whatever?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, I think in those particular instances, like, the idea is that the bank is like a third party entity altogether from, like, the dealership. I know we're probably getting way into the weeds about how dealerships work. But I think that in those cases, that is just sort of like the person who does, like, the finance things, and they don't benefit from the interest. They only benefit from the sale of the vehicle.
Right.
So, like, the interest that you pay to the bank is a completely different story, but that's also then, like, a trickle down effect from, like, the Federal Reserve that determines, like, current interest rates.
I don't know.
Which are currently high because...
Inflation. The point is, this is how it makes me feel, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me feel... It makes me feel like they're like, oh, yeah, I'm passing you to this person because they'll take care of you. And I'm like, great. So good you have the system in place.
Right.
You know? But I'm like, all you actually care about is making money. I'm like, I know. This is so annoying that when we were buying the minivan, that, like, we really wanted one that they didn't quite have there. And the one they did have there, they were like, what if we just give you the price of the other one, but on this one? And we were like, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. This one was more expensive, obviously.
Right.
But it was there. And they were like, great. Awesome. But then, like, you know, then you go back and you fill out all the paperwork and it's like, I'm pretty sure they didn't actually give us that discount.
Yes.
You know?
I had this exact same thing happen to me when I was buying my camper once upon a time where, like, I walked off the lot and I was like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not willing to do it, like, unless it's like this price or whatever. And so they called me back a week later and they were like, all right, we talked it over. It's the end of the month. We were trying to hit quota. Like, we're willing to do it, like, at the rate that you, or the price that you, like, requested. And I went in and I remember I was hosting a party, like, that day, and I couldn't believe that they called me with this particular deal.
Right.
And so, like, I'm like sitting in there, like, signing all this paperwork or whatever, and I was just sort of like also thinking, like, okay, I'm gonna have, like, you know, 50 people at my house tonight, like, I gotta go get ready for that. And I just blew right past the point where they did not change the price to the newly negotiated one, and I didn't catch it for, like, another 2 years because I've been making these, like, overpayments on it every month, and I was like, man, I must be, like, most of the way done with this thing. And I, like, went to pull it up and it was still above the original amount that I thought I purchased it for. I was like, wait a second, this must be a mistake.
Right.
And then it had been so long, and, like, I even called the dealership and they're like, that guy doesn't even work here anymore. And I'm like, come on.
Oh, so annoying. So annoying.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, whatever you agree to, whenever you're in that room, just be like, point to where we're at the price. Point to where.
So, do you think that these people should be operating more on, like, a win-win basis? Or like, because that's how we started, like, right, this idea of like a win-win. And
I think it's because of situations like that that people don't believe like win-wins are real win-wins.
Okay, so then like when can like a win-win occur? Do you have like a good example of something?
Well, like, like with you fixing up your truck, it's like, oh, it will make you feel good, and it will fix the truck.
And it will fix the truck,
right?
But and then I suppose the flip side is that like fixing the truck probably has an end point, like there are things on the interior of the vehicle that I need to repair because they literally got broken by someone once upon a time,
right?
In a rather just odd and unusual way. So repairing all those is one thing. Then continuing to make upgrades that the truck doesn't necessarily need, but I think are fun, is probably the point where it's like, I can't decide if that is like a generally poor use of money. Like, mm-hmm, if I like of my resources, like, you have been sucked into a vortex now, like, where you feel like you'll, you know, I mean, like, I think we've even talked about it before, it's like, you'll be happier if you just like buy this like next upgrade. And it's like, probably not forever, but like when I do it, like, I feel like on, you know, on top of the world for like a couple weeks.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh man, that was a good feeling. Like,
it was cool.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So it's like, if you just kind of like continuously keep doing that, it's kind of like, well, how far do you go before like it's like, yeah, this has become like a bit much.
Well, I don't know. I suppose it depends on like when, it's just like having any other hobby, really.
It really is.
It's like,
yes,
you know, you can, yeah, go buy Pokemon cards and stuff, and opening the packs is a great example of like dopamine hits. You know, it's just like, yes, am I gonna get it? Oh my god, I didn't. Maybe the next one.
Right.
You know, oh my god, I did. That's a crazy, what a great pull or whatever.
Right.
You know, that's your thing. But like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, it's like fun to do. It's fun to open them. It's fun to collect them. It's fun to play the game and get the accessories and go and like talk to the people and stuff, and, you know, make friends and things. But like, would you have saved a lot more money if you just didn't do it? It's like, probably. Could you put it towards more useful things? Arguably, but at the same rate, like, if doing it is making you happy and you're not being like crazy irresponsible with your finances about, right, it, like, then you doing something that makes you happy is generally going to be better overall for your like mental health, and therefore like your relationships with other people. And for stuff like, you know, it might feel like you're just doing it by yourself in your backyard and doing it, but like, inevitably stuff like this will lead you to like meet people in the truck hobby, something. Like, you know, it's like, Pokemon's super fun, but if I go and play it, it's like, you can't help but be playing against another person.
Right.
And if you go to the same, you know, card shop every single week, well, it's not like brand new people are coming in every single week, you know? It's the same people going over and over and over again.
Right.
Like, you're just going to start to get to know them, and it's like, then you'll just, like, you will meet the other people. You'll know the people who work at the shop, you know? Like, and that is a kind of thing that you're not like buying friends or anything. You're just participating in the hobby, and as a result, you're meeting new people who are also in the hobby.
There you go.
And that's probably good for you too.
I feel like you're passionate about this.
Well,
you came to life a little bit.
Well, I'm just trying to think, like, you know, I think I had a very similar like relationship with stuff like this for a very long time, where it's just like, no, doing that will make you happy, so you shouldn't do it, because that means you're being selfish, and end of sentence. That's the end. That's as far as that can possibly go. And it's like, that's just not true. You know, it's sometimes you need a time for yourself, or you need to spend time doing something you like, because if you don't, you're like building quietly building resentment towards who knows what, just like towards the world, because like you're upset because you're not getting to do things that make you happy. And suddenly it's going to feel like, well, it's this person's fault, or it's this situation's fault, or it's these circumstances' fault,
right?
Because like, you know, you're not getting what you need out of anything. And if you're getting that, then you'll feel more fulfilled and more able to help in other ways, I think.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I do agree with you. It's like this idea of like turmoil, I think, existing within your person, like, I think can start to drastically impact the way that you're interacting with everybody else in your life. So like, Allie and I have a friend who has just like a huge amount of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like a lot of times what you see is like almost like a kind of tenacious anger come out of them. Like, and you're sort of like, man, it's like, why are they so like, you know, like upset. But then, you know, me and Allie were talking about it. We're like, think about like a day, like, you know, I go back to like the camper and stuff, like where I drove it for like 12 hours. And it's like, by the end of that day, like I've been in traffic. There's been a lot of noise. I've been very focused. It's been, you know, like the sun has been like bearing on my eyes. You know, there's all these like circumstances you're weighing. By the end of the day, you're like a frayed wire.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like if anybody comes near you, it's just sort of like, dude, I'm just a little bit tired right now.
Right.
You know, it's like you are kind of agitated. And I was like, man, I wonder if that is like, you know, I mean, and I experience a lot of anxiety myself too. So like, I definitely can, I think relate, you know, but the idea is almost like, imagine what it must be like inside of their brain, like feeling that turmoil all the time. It's
right.
Like, it's like what's happening is that they're feeling so much of the weight of the world that like they are a frayed wire. It's like, it's not that they're mean. You're just, it's like they're kind of like caught in this continuous, like, catching them at a bad time, but it's like they can't escape catching them at a bad time.
Right.
It's like they've always just finished towing a trailer for 12 hours.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, that must be rough. You know, and you're like, what can we do to help just like alleviate that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, right. And probably the person finding passions, you know, where it's a healthy outlet to like exhaust some of that, like, you know, mental energy. Then it's like, oh, okay, then maybe that can like bring you back down more to a calm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like that much more prepared for the trials and tribulations of the everyday.
Exactly.
The ups and downs and all arounds.
Exactly.
Whew. I think we got there.
I think so.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. We super appreciate all of your support. If you'd like to send us any feedback, you can do so at popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get you know, to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a Jay vs. Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and of course a live performance of Through the Gryffindor. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, it's, I mean, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.